flawless.
Welcome back, everybody. We missed you guys.
We missed you so much.
We missed you guys. We missed each other.
Yeah, I was about to say we missed each other.
We've just been sitting here, honestly, chatting the last like 20 minutes about everything from early 90s video games to current video games to Disney World, yeah. Everything, because we've been gone the last 2 weeks. You were at Disney last week.
Yeah, I was.
I don't know if you were being quiet. You put it on Instagram.
My wife was. I was taking all of the pictures. She was posting frequently about it. So, yeah, it wasn't any secret, but it's definitely been the most fun place that I've been this month because I've spent most of my time on a construction site in Tyler, which is where I will be heading back in short order again. Job is not done yet.
So hot take, Disneyland better than Tyler, Texas.
Certainly better than Tyler when it is cold and wet all the time. All the time.
All the time. Yes. Always.
And you're just outside in it, just knee-deep in mud.
Well, before we get into the current stuff, who do you think will be going to Disney World in like 2 weeks as far as the Super Bowl?
Good question.
Because it's always like, I'm going to Disney World. What are you doing? Yeah.
I mean, I as far as like a rooting interest, I still haven't nailed down who I'm rooting for because I keep talking myself out of either side, basically.
I hear you. But, it's a tough one.
Yeah, but I feel like the Chiefs are the superior team. I would be surprised if the Chiefs don't win.
Here's how I think it's going to go down. You can remember this date when you listen to this, the next 13 months of this comes true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mahomes wins this time. It's an instant classic. Mahomes wins. I'm going to say 33-28.
Okay.
Something weird.
It'll be a fun game.
Because someone will go for two somewhere and it doesn't make any sense. Andy Reid's crazy.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians is crazy. I'm going to say Chiefs win 33-28 in this game. And that also just beats the cover, which is like 4 points, I think.
Okay.
So that messes with the line and everything like that. I think we'll see the same matchup next year. It's boring. It's becoming like college football. I know.
I hate that stuff. I hate rematches in back-to-back years.
I hear you. But I think the NFC is going to be really down next year. I think the Buccaneers roll through the NFC next year. And Mahomes is unstoppable right now.
65-year-old Tom Brady.
Yes. And I think the Brady and the Buccaneers beat Mahomes and the Chiefs in Super Bowl 56. 42-24.
And he retires on the
podium. He retires at Disney World like 2 days later.
At Disney World.
Yes, that's where my head's at. So you've got your two predictions, the next two Super Bowls here.
Okay.
So here we go.
Noted. Little writing emoji.
Yeah, so I'm taking the Chiefs in this one.
Okay.
To go to Disney World, which you just were at. And I'm going in March, allegedly. We'll see how all this actually goes. But yeah, so we're good. We're catching up with each other. We're catching up with you guys. We got a few Twitter questions. We're going to talk basketball because they're finally playing again.
Yeah.
And that was a weird game last night because it always is with Kansas and every sport it feels like.
Yes.
Yeah. We got some football news to talk about. And we got baseball coming up, baby. We're all excited for baseball.
We're talking baseball.
All these players in that song are dead. Every baseball player is dying now. It's crazy.
Everyone's dead.
They are. But also, like, that... Like
yeah, that's, R.I.P. Hank Aaron, man.
I was about to say Don Chula. Don Sutton has passed away. Tommy Lasorda, all in the last week. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's crazy seeing all the baseball legends go. But hopefully this year's baseball legends will rise for TCU. But we're going to start with basketball because that game just happened last night.
Yes.
The team had to miss 16 days. Of games. They canceled a whole week of games. I postponed them at least. We'll see. I think Dixon said in his press conference earlier this week that he thinks there will be some forfeits in the NCAA tournament.
Really?
So because he thinks it'll just happen. But I think because they're trying to bubble everyone in Indianapolis for the tournaments. I don't know if that'll happen. But I think maybe conference tournaments you might see that. And that could affect how teams go and get in. But I don't know.
If everyone forfeits and TCU wins the Big 12 tournament?
They're in.
Hello?
They win it all. and the game against Kansas last night was wacky and unusual like always. They were led 19-18 at halftime in a basketball game.
Yep.
And I think the score of the game they won a few years ago when 2012, is that when that was? Wasn't it like 26-22 at halftime or something stupid like that?
The Trent Johnson game? That game was comically low scoring.
Yeah, and just like this one. And Kansas ended up winning 59-51. TCU had a 7-point lead with 16 minutes left. You thought, well, maybe. This game's just being weird enough. Mike Miles led all scorers with 18 points after getting a goose egg their first meeting. Kevin Samuel had 8 rebounds after getting 0 in the first meeting. TCU dominated the glass in the first half, and then Kansas dominated the glass in the second half and eventually pulled away. In the last 15 minutes or so, they went from down 7 to up as much as 7 or 8 towards the end there. So a big swing of emotions there. And people are mad on Twitter about this, and they're all tired of Dixon. They're all tired of how this is going. But it's Kansas in Kansas, first off.
Yeah.
You played them much better this time than you did a month ago when you lost by 30.
You don't roll into Lawrence expecting a win, especially in a year like this. I mean, I wasn't able to watch the game because I was driving back from guess where, Tyler.
Yeah.
But I was following your tweets, and you know my reactions were like, oh?
Yeah.
Oh. Like, you know, okay, yeah. That's what I was expecting.
Don't check Twitter and drive. But also, yeah, but the team had one practice in 16 days. And I say a lot of people saying excuses. Like, you don't understand. Dixon said last night, it was the last question I asked him. Me and Drew were talking to him last night on Zoom. I was like, how many practices do you think you've missed since August?
Yeah, this was eye-opening.
He said between 90 and 100. Yeah. And people are like, excuses. I go, no. 90 to 100 practices is insane. And like, well, everyone's dealing with COVID. No. Not everyone's dealing with COVID to the extent that TCU has dealt with COVID this year. You've seen most teams have had like a game or two canceled at like this point of the season, which isn't a total shocker. I know Kentucky and Texas are postponed this weekend, which is a big bummer. Mm-hmm. Texas would have beat them by 30 probably this year.
Yeah.
But like, teams aren't having it as bad as TCU had it several times. Like, they had stops and starts in the fall and early on in the season too, and you can't practice if you don't have all your players ready. It's like Farabello missed a week. I think Mike Miles, he said at a time before, has said I think three different instances where he had to quarantine. Not that he ever actually had it, because I don't think he can actually say that. But like, he had to like miss weeks of practice at a time.
Yeah,
and it's like you don't get the full team playing. And I'm not like, well, he's just the guy that gets to talk to Dixon, so he's sticking up for him. This just makes sense to me. It's like, if you don't have the continuity to play together as much as you can. And Dixon even said in the last time, he goes, Kansas, I don't think, has had a stoppage yet.
Yeah.
Which sounds a little fishy to me, but also,
sure.
But also, like, they probably lose a player here, a player there. And that's how it goes. And also, you can kind of look at how certain states are handling this. And Texas, for a while there, wasn't one of the best. So things are getting better. But it's still, that plays a factor into all of this.
Yeah, I mean, I was like sitting here trying to think of an accurate comp of like missing that much practice time to like, you know, in a work life. Right, like, well, and there's really not one. It's like, this is a new team with a lot of young players that desperately needs the time to learn and gel, and they just straight up aren't getting it.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know how you can look at any of these games. Even, I mean, yes, it's frustrating to lose games that you are in a position to win, and it's frustrating to lose games because of turnovers, but I don't know how you can look at this, bearing in mind all the obstacles this team is dealing with, and not be optimistic about the future. I don't know how you can.
Well, yeah, and I get... See, I still have... As someone who's been like all about 2021, which thank God we're here, but also I'm like, I kind of think basketball isn't as progressed as I thought, although we're seeing Mike Miles for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Samuel has shown flashes of improving, but also some flashes of, I don't know if he really tries or cares, and sometimes it feels like he's mentally checked out, and I don't know if that's the case or not, but last night he played tough for three quarters of that game, and I think the end... And I asked Dixon and Miles about this. It was like, is conditioning a factor? And Dixon said maybe a little, but Miles said no, not really. But he's also 18 years old.
Right.
But I think some of it is these guys, without getting a chance to practice, aren't able to do their normal workouts, normal workloads, and that affects everything. Again, 90 to 100 practices. I can't. You're thinking of a comp. I had like pneumonia in seventh grade and missed 2 straight weeks of school.
Yeah, there you go.
That's like the closest I can come.
And you like completely forget all of algebra.
Everything. Right? Yeah. And I still haven't learned it back.
Yeah.
And it's been mostly irrelevant in my life. That's exactly. the closest I can come to thinking of like what that is like.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to really put that into words how important that is. And the schedule, like I said, doesn't get easier. You get Missouri at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Again, they're number 12. And then Oklahoma State Wednesday at 8. I think the Oklahoma State game is a must-win game because you beat them in Stillwater.
Yeah.
It's one of the few teams that are not ranked in the Big 12. There's only like three teams that aren't ranked. Oklahoma State, Kansas State, TCU, I feel like is it.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably someone else I'm forgetting. But there's not a whole lot of gimmies in the Big 12 this year. Never are.
Yeah.
And you just lost to Kansas by 8. And Kansas is not playing well right now.
Mm-hmm.
And TCU wasn't playing well at all last night. If they hit a few more shots, they potentially win that game. It's obvious. Yep. So I played
great defense.
Played really good defense. And if you hold a team to under 60 in basketball, you should win. It's like holding a team to under 20
in football. If you hold a ranked Kansas team under 60.
Well, again, they put up, 94 on them 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's crazy to think about this. So, I'm not... The slander on Dixon and the slander on Patterson also
and to the same thing
need to stop. Like,
stay in your lane, you foolish people.
Again, they're like, well, you're the guy that gets to talk to him, so you got to stay nice to him. I was like, I don't have to. Hey, I choose to, but also this is also logic to me. Like, yes. GP puts guys in the NFL, and you're like, why doesn't that translate on the field? That's a good question, and I don't think it's definitely not on him. Maybe positions need to play a little better, and positions are developing differently than others, which we'll get into a little bit of that later on. But with Dixon, I would have obviously by now, by year five, considering he had Pitt number one in the country for a while there, you're like, all right, this is a tournament team every year. This is a solid, at worst, like fourth place in the Big 12 every year. Yeah, that's what I hoped.
Yeah, but that completely takes out of context all of these unforeseen circumstances that have befallen the first 5 years.
Well, there was a lot of in and out of the program, which also says something about the coaching staff, right? If the kids are coming and leaving, coming, going, and that's a bit of a bummer, especially when you have 12 basketball players and you lose three players versus you have 120 football players and you lose three players. Mm. Totally different sport, different game, literally different game and sport.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not apples to apples there. And so, yeah, he's had to deal with a lot. Also, I think the rise of Texas Tech and the rise of Baylor, to the extent Baylor's always been kind of good, but the fact they're now number two in the country.
They're unfortunately elite.
Yeah, so it has been a shocker. And again, Texas Tech, they hired Chris Beard the same time TCU hired Dixon, and Dixon and Beard was number two on my big board for coaches I wanted.
Yeah,
it was Dixon then Beard, and to see Beard do all this, like, oh man, why can't this be us right now? Because it should be, like, right? Sure. Lubbock has nothing except for oil money. Not just saying, So, I mean, how are they suddenly getting top 50 recruits in the country?
They've got a firehouse across from the stadium.
Do they have McDonald's there too? Are they putting money in paper bags? Like Tennessee?
I'm just making an observation on something that I've seen in Lubbock.
No volunteers at Tennessee, by the way, ironically. So
all volunteering to play for Oklahoma.
Right? Again, I'm bummed and I'm annoyed because, again, by now the expectation should be tournament every year. It should be. Mm-hmm. By the second year, you're like, all right, we made the tournament. Should make this every year. Should be. And I am annoyed that it's taking this long. But this year, losing by 8 to Kansas when you haven't had 100 practices.
Yes.
You've had – other teams have had missed out practices. But I'm going to say TCU's probably had at least 50 fewer practices than other teams.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as total practices, like with your whole team together, probably closer to 75.
Yeah.
Because they've had players missing here and there and everything. It's just so hard to be like, hey, go out there and – now go out there and beat Kansas. And now go out there and beat Tech.
Forget it, man. It's completely – divorced from reality to expect some like otherworldly effort from this team when they haven't had virtually any time
in the same room together for the last 2 weeks.
Yes. It's insane.
Like, if you play pickup games at the YMCA or whatever gym, like, if you play with the same guys, like, you play better. And I noticed, like, I've played at times, like, at my 24-hour fitness where I've been on just pickup games where, like, we've won, like, four games in a row. Because suddenly you just start getting the vibe with these guys.
Yeah, there's so much rhythm involved. And you know, working with those other four guys on the court where, like, when you can't practice, you can't execute it in the game.
You can't get the rhythm. So,
I mean, come on.
And so I think it needs a little less backlash for this year because of all this stuff going on. Now, I think we can revisit this in 2 years if they haven't made the tournament again.
Sure.
I think if they don't make the tournament next year, then I'm all about getting more on board with, hey, it's something needs
to... Seat's getting warm.
Yeah, seat's getting warm, I think.
Yeah.
But again, it's so tough when you hire someone who is like the best, not the best player in school history, but like a legend, like a local legend. Mm-hmm. It's so hard. Like, look at Patrick Ewing in Georgetown.
Right.
If things don't go well in Georgetown, are they ever going to fire Patrick Ewing?
Yeah.
It's going to be really tough to do.
Well, I mean, look at Texas Tech and Cliff Kingsbury, right? I mean, they didn't want to. They were like, please don't give us a reason to get rid of you. Yeah. Like, you're one of our favorite sons here, right? But it's like at a certain point, you're like, nothing's happening.
And I think in football, the...
Like, you can't win with Patrick Mahomes. What is going on here, man?
He's had more success with Kyler Murray than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But It's crazy. It's crazy. So people, I think I agree with you that it's been as less successful than I expected and hoped at this stage of the Dixon tenure. But this year, I think you need to give him a little bit of slack.
Yeah, for sure.
A little bit of slack. I think that's not an outlandish statement, is it?
No, not at all.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, we tend to be pretty like-minded in these matters.
But also, we're also a bit of a homer. Like, I agree. This is the Homer podcast.
Yes.
Like,
what you're getting when you
talk about this podcast. This is the... speaking of podcast, You're like, this is the only internet, the only TCU podcast, whatever.
Yes.
I finally got into the Shutdown Fullcast. It took me forever.
Okay.
I've listened to like 20 episodes now, and I love it, and I wish I started listening to it
sooner.
Isn't
it fantastic?
It's great, and I would love to make this that.
Yes.
But I don't see how, but I would love to find a way.
We need a few more people, I guess, to really
make more cooks it in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But they make it work, too, because they've had practice, a lot of practice together. So there you go. Natural segue. The TCU women have had a lot of practice together, but it's not really paying off right now. Again, we said it'd be a tough year for them. They lost to Baylor 82-49 the other day. They've lost 5 of the last 7. They're now 2-7 in the Big 12. But again, I don't think this is a team that we were expecting to be contenders this year. They play West Virginia at home at 1:00 on Saturday. It's another ranked team you got to play against. Lauren Hurd averaging 18.7 boards, 5 assists. Michelle Berry averaging 10 points and 8 rebounds. So they're having good years. It's just it's a tough group around them. But I saw – I kind of want to look this up in a second. I was looking on their ESPN profile. I was like, when's their next game? Trying to find the schedule, their last results are. And yeah, I guess I should go to GoFrogs for that. But I was on ESPN at the time, so I went to there.
I got to walk all the way to GoFrogs, right?
That's such a long way away. But I looked at – I scrolled down a little bit, and they have their recruits, and they rank women's basketball players over there. Paige Bradley gets a 91 grade by them. So that's a 4-star equivalent. And that's a 72nd overall player in the country. She's from Bishop Lynch. Hadn't really talked about that in a while. Again, a verbal commit. You don't see a whole lot of flips in women's basketball.
Sure, yeah.
So I think that's probably your next big name to keep an eye on as far as the future of women's basketball. I think they're on the way up still.
Yeah.
But last year was such a lightning in a bottle for them, and it sucks that
that's the thing. With every passing week, I get more and more frustrated that they didn't get a chance to play in the tournament last year.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know if they would have won at all because, again, they lost to Baylor twice. But that had Sweet 16 written all over it, like, for sure. And so it's a real bummer they didn't get a chance to go and compete. But speaking of teams that didn't get a chance to compete last year, but will hopefully play better this year, we got a baseball schedule.
Baseball.
Excited for baseball, man. And this is more than any other year, I think I'm more excited for baseball. I think around this time, you're like, I need baseball. I need my fix.
Yes.
So we have a schedule, and it doesn't start easy. And it usually doesn't. TCU has a tradition for playing usually top 10 programs to start the season anyway.
Because we are part of that tier, man.
Oh, yeah.
You got to test yourself against the best.
If you want to beat the best, you want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Exactly.
Again, a couple years ago, they beat Vanderbilt and UCLA or something like that.
Yeah, or USC. Virginia, I thought. But Vanderbilt was definitely one of them.
They beat Vanderbilt. I think they won 2 out of 3 that weekend, and I think it was at UCLA, and I know they beat Vanderbilt. So.
Yeah.
But this year, February 19th through 21st at Globe Life Field, again, just down the road, good old Texas, playing Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And representing the Big 12 will also be Texas and Texas Tech.
Man.
That is 6 of the top 12 teams in the country.
If you win this, if you come out of this tournament with the top record, go ahead and just punch your ticket to Omaha. They should give them an automatic qualifier to Omaha.
Pretty much. Anyone comes out of this 3-0, because feasibly it could be one Big 12. No, I guess only one team could be 3-0.
Because the Big 12 teams aren't playing each other.
All three from one conference could be 3-0.
That's true. That's true.
All three from one conference could be 3-0. So I guess go Big 12. I guess in this case we're rooting for Texas and Texas Tech. Get into that whole debate again. That's going to be a really fun weekend to baseball. Because, again, rarely do you see a tournament that's got 6 of the top 12 teams in it.
Yeah.
And it's just absurd.
To open the season.
To open the season, yeah. So you're also going to play in the Shriners Classic, which they always do.
Get your fez ready.
This seems to be a little bit less star-studded than usual. They're playing A&M Commerce. Or no, A&M Corpus Christi, rather.
Okay.
Texas State and Sam Houston, March 5th through 7th. Big 12.
Well, Sam Houston's a good program.
Yeah, and Texas State's not bad either. Yeah. And I think Corpus Christi's, for like their level, isn't bad.
Yeah.
So they're mostly Texas kids, right?
And yeah.
Texas is a pretty good baseball state.
Yeah.
I still remember when I was working for the Waxahachie newspaper, they had a big tournament in Waxahachie. Waxahachie, by the way, has probably the best high school baseball field in the country. I'm going to throw it out there. Have you been there for a game yet?
I haven't, no.
It's amazing. The Dodgers, Tigers, I want to say a couple of teams played spring training ball there like in the 20s and 30s. Like, it's an old stadium. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. So, anyway, they had like five teams from Texas, like Waxahachie, Midlothian, one of the Dallas teams, one of like the Keller teams that are like top 15 teams in the state of Texas, and they brought in the 6A state champ from Arkansas to come in and play too. Like, well, this is the best high school baseball team in Arkansas, and they lost every game to some decent Texas high school teams.
That's delicious.
Yeah, and so
start waving that Texas flag.
Yeah, SEC. So, but I'm saying this was like 8 years ago.
Yeah,
but I'm saying like that's how good the quality is in Texas. So even these games, the Corpus Christi, Texas State, and Sam Houston games, should be good games. Like they're like, they shouldn't be games you want to miss. So Big 12 play starts March 26th versus Baylor. TCU heads to Texas Tech April 9th through 11th, and they host Texas May 7th through 9th. I just picked out a couple series there to look at.
High profile. A couple teams that, you know, maybe we hate and we would love to be.
And teams that also you could be facing in Omaha. Yeah. That's another thing to think about there.
You think Baylor's that good this year?
No, but I'm saying like they were a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't. Looking at someone had the top 50, they ranked like the top 50 teams. Mm-hmm. I think it was D1 baseball, whatever.
Yeah.
They had, I think, eight Big 12 teams in it? And there are only nine that play baseball.
Iowa State's been undefeated for a long time now.
But I'm saying like that's how good the conference is in baseball this year.
Yeah.
Even Kansas State, which is normally not good, their ace is like the best pitcher in the conference.
Yeah, they have more all Big 12 players than us apparently.
We're gonna get into that in a second too. let's get into that now. Okay. Yeah, so less. I took some notes here because I have a couple other players I want to mention. No preseason honors. Oklahoma State second baseman Houston Morrill got picked to the preseason team. He hit .258 with two homers and six steals.
I hope y'all can hear me rolling my eyes.
Right now. TCU second baseman Gray Rogers hit .373 with two homers last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's 115 points better batting average.
Yeah.
Again, all these guys played 12 to 15 games. But how can you possibly look at this and say, that guy's a little bit better than Gray Rogers?
Yeah.
I don't see that. That doesn't make a lick of sense to me. So snub one right there.
Yeah.
West Virginia catcher Paul McIntosh hit .207 with three homers, and now I was like, if he was a catcher, I can get it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Zach Humphries had better numbers than him, I think except for homers, I want to say. But look at TCU guys, Gene Wood and Hunter Wolf could easily have been the DH representatives there because Gene Wood played right field and first base, hit .353 with five homers, 14 RBIs, and six steals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is that not better than .207 with three homers?
Well, I guess just, you know, when you're working with a small sample size, you want to default to the team that has a better pedigree. Oh, wait!
Oh, wait, they didn't do that.
Wait a second.
And Hunter Wolf hit .341 with 12 RBIs and six steals. So, and Hunter played DH and center. So again, people are starting to pay attention to this. I'm giving you some positions and some numbers and key names to watch here. So like you easily could have had two TCU. You could have found two TCU players in there from the team you picked second in the conference.
Yes,
they're picked to be second in the conference behind Texas Tech. And I get it. Texas Tech's been on the rise lately.
Yeah, I don't begrudge them picking a second in the conference. That's fine. But like no Big 12 honors. Come on,
for the and not just second in the conference, but also like number nine in the country. It's just absurd to me. Other players to mention here: Tommy Sacco, shortstop, hit .304 with 13 RBIs and three steals last season. Again, all that in 15 games. So those are there are four spots in the lineup you feel really good about. Yeah. Again, you're also getting Porter Brown back.
Yes.
Should be fully healthy by this point. So Halen Green, I was trying to find issues with the pitchers, and I couldn't really find anything that were that egregious.
that's great news.
but like Halen Green, you were like with a 0 ERA and 0.68 WHIP in 8 appearances. As a middle reliever, and I get it, like middle relievers now, the way baseball is being played now, is way more important than ever before because normally you're bringing your best pitcher when you're in a jam in the sixth inning now that's staying for the ninth, which is how it should have always been.
Yeah.
But, and I get you want to go with the guy that's the closer and the guy that's the starter with good numbers. But Halen Green, you could have made a case for him versus a couple other guys on the list, but like I get it. But Halen Green is also, I think, is the heartbeat of this team, is that fair? Like, I don't know. Halen Green is so important.
He is, yeah.
And I thought he was the best player on the team last year, too. And I don't think that's that egregious of a statement.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy that I think if he had gotten drafted, say the draft had been 10 rounds instead of 5 last year, I think he would have gotten drafted, like, in the late half of the 7, 8, 9 picks because it's a middle reliever. You're right. Like, well, you don't pick middle relievers.
Yeah, it's usually either a starter or a closer.
Right. And so, but Halen Green, in 3 years, if he's not a closer for the Pirates, I'll be shocked. Because I think he's a guy that'll be a high pick in one of the middle rounds. If he's not the closer for, I'm going to say he leads the majors in saves in 2026 for the Pirates.
All right. You're all about the bold predictions. I'm all about
living in the future. Maybe 2025.
You're trying to make up for your bold predictions football loss, I see.
Right. Extra bowl. But Haylen Greek, but again, like it's had a 0.00 ERA, a 0.68 whip in 8 appearances, 17 innings of work, 19 Ks. He was ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
ridiculous. So was Riley Cornelio, made 3 starts, had a 0.87 ERA and a 0.97 whip. In 3 starts. Again, I think he only pitched 15 or so innings in those 3 starts. But like when he pitched, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
What more can he ask from a kid?
And your top 2 guys this year, I think pitching are going to be Johnny Ray and Russell Smith. Also, Charles King's in there too.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
But Johnny Ray and Russell Smith, they both started 4 games last year. They both had ERAs in the 2.5s. Mm-hmm. Both had whips under 1. They both pitched 21 innings. Smith had 27 Ks. Ray had 21 Ks. Like, those 2 guys are great also.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a really good team, man.
Oh,
like
man.
This is going to be a fun team. This is going to be a fun team. This is going to be,
and after a couple years that were, you know, a little bit, I mean, disappointing by our standards.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, you go to Omaha four straight years.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, darn, they only made the Super Regionals this
year.
Yeah.
But you know this, you know, knocking on wood, this could be a return to form team.
Again, 2 years ago, they were a misplayed pop up from winning the Big 12 tournament and making the dance as a quote unquote. Bad TCU team?
Like
the record was around 500, I think.
Yeah,
like,
emphasis on disappointing by our standards.
By TCU standards, yeah. They were not as good as they normally are, and they were still a 1 out away against Baylor from winning the Big 12 tournament and making the dance.
Yeah.
And then last year they made the Super Regionals, or the year before last, rather, against Arkansas.
Lost to Arkansas.
Who had their ace was another top 10 pick or whatever the draft. So that's – hey, also Super Regionals, you're in the top 16. That's whatever.
Yeah.
So that's sort of your quick baseball preview. Excited to get that season going here in a couple of weeks.
Do you have tickets to any of the games in Ranger Stadium?
No, I'm going to be gone that weekend. Sadly.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah. Well, that's not Disney. That's the girlfriend's birthday weekend.
Oh,
we're
okay,
going.
Okay.
We've already made this plan months ago to go to some cavern in Austin or whatever. So
y'all are going
to
go in a cave, okay?
Basically, yeah, right. 2021, man. It's a pandemic. You got to go places that are a little bit safer than Disney World. Sometimes
we're going to go into a cave and paint on the walls.
Well, hey, man, we all started somewhere, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so I'm sadly not going to make it to any of those games, but very excited for the baseball season to get underway.
I got tickets for the Arkansas game.
Oh, do you? Is that the first game?
No, it's on Sunday.
It's on Sunday. Hey, it'll be a good game. I think, is that the nightcap?
Yes. Yeah, that's the last one because I couldn't make
Arkansas plays the night game all 3 days, I noticed.
Well, that's
interesting. I'm sure they asked for that.
Yeah.
But whatever.
They squealed until it was given to them.
Ooh, picky. I wish TCU would have beat them.
Why didn't we freaking get to play that game?
30 in the bowl game. Well, so I think angry. part of the reason you didn't play that game was because 2 safeties declared to go pro, and Atanza Vongor entered the transfer portal. So you were short in the secondary, I think.
No.
Because not only did Atanza Vongor, you like the segue, Atanza Vongor, Austin Myers, and TJ Stroman have all entered the transfer portal since we last spoke. That puts over 100 players from Texas schools alone. I think I saw Sheehan tweet out there that have entered the transfer portal. So the Stroman one, I think, is the most painful one.
Yes.
Because he came on so strong towards the end of the season.
Yes. You thought, and you were looking forward to next year's offensive line, like Stroman and this kid that we're going to talk about in a second as bookend tackles. Like, oh my gosh. That sounds so great. And Vongor, I mean, that one's a disappointing one too because of just, oh, he's a 4-star recruit. Like, you would have loved to have seen what he can do. But then again, you look at how our safeties have progressed and you're like, well, hey, I do not, I'm very happy with Josh Foster back there. And
Bud Clark.
These
guys, you feel like, okay, yeah. I mean, Bud Clark is a 4-star too. Just,
just
plug him in. Like, all right, cool. We're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Again, safety's becoming what defensive line was up until 2017, I guess. We're like, I don't care what their names are. They're going to be great. Because the defensive line for so long for TCU was like, just plug and play a kid from Louisiana and they're going to go, they're going to ball out.
Yeah. It was really until, I think, 2019 that it was like, defensive
line. After Banigou and Collier left. What's his name? Boson.
Yeah,
Boson was before that. It was 2016,
His senior year was 17.
So those guys, once those guys left, I was like, oh man, the defensive line's struggling. But again, we say they struggled. Ross Blacklock was second-round pick. And now we're seeing Beast Mode hulking out O'Shawn Mathis, Kari Coleman, You got it.
My celestial muskox.
Paramour, whatever you want to say. I know your Cardi Coleman love knows no bounds.
No.
So, yes.
One of us has to be uncomfortably obsessed with at least one TCU defensive player at any given time.
Yeah. And I'm so sad about the I don't have to watch Senior Bowl now.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to watch the Senior Bowl, but I don't have to watch that now because Wallow is not participating due to COVID. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yes,
people
did.
Noticed that on Twitter. Sad day.
Is it too late for him to come back for a second senior year?
No, I don't. I think they had to declare.
Has he hired an agent or whatever?
I think he has actually.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then it probably is too late. I can't remember what all the minutia are of those rules.
Okay. Bayou City. I was like, who just texted me? It was Bayou City. Oh. All right. So I was like, I don't recognize that number for Twitter questions. So. TJ Stormont, bummer losing him. Austin Myers, again, I think was a nice utility piece. Mm-hmm. But I think looking at the offensive line next year, you're going to go, let's go from right to left. I think at right tackle, you're gonna have a fight between Andrew Coker and Garrett Hayes.
Yeah.
I love Coker, but Garrett Hayes was, again, another four-star guy that I think played a lot towards the end of the year. I think at right guard, I think Blake Hickey took the job. I think he won the job. He won a scholarship.
Yeah.
I think he's your starter going into week one next year, at least.
Is it really a TCU team if there's not one walk-on kid who hasn't just come into his own and just become a major contributor?
Isn't he also from Kansas? Like, isn't that Is always he? How it goes? I think he's got Kansas ties. Yeah, but that's how it goes for the offensive line. I think in the middle, you've got you've got Steve Avila. But again, he's also like flexible guy too.
Yeah,
he's also,
I wouldn't be surprised if you had Coy McMillan at center, Steve Avila at right tackle. I would not be the least bit upset seeing Steve Avila on the outside.
Blake Hickey is from Godly, Texas, but did play at Kansas State before transferring here. Fun fact.
Okay.
So I was wrong.
Godly, they got some good tacos down there.
Good to know. Yeah. So I was wrong, but not as wrong as I thought. But Steve Avila, Coy McMillan, like you said, they could also bounce around a little bit. Again, Kelton Hollins is in the portal. We didn't mention that because that's not as important as it was 2 years ago, sadly. John Lands, I think, is your left guard to start. Again, maybe Coy McMillan or Avila bounce around there.
You got a possible Wes Harris if he's healthy, I suppose.
Yeah, true. And then your left tackle, I think, is going to be Obinna Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Love this kid. Love being 6'8", 315. I wish I was 6'8", 315. Sign up for that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
He was a starting left tackle in Memphis the last 2 years.
I think I'd
have
a lot more money if I was 6'8", 315.
Probably. Yeah. We all would, because we could rob banks and be invincible. Like, I think it's how that would go.
That's where it goes. Yeah. We would just rob banks.
Yeah, just rob banks. You're unstoppable. I'm not going to tell him, no, you can't have this money.
Yeah, so there you go, Easy. That's your career path, I guess. Billy Russell's advice.
Take someone who wishes to go 6'8", 315. Just be like, I'm the juggernaut. Like, just take whatever I want.
Okay.
No, but this guy, again, starting left tackle 2 years at Memphis. I think he's going to come in and play right away and going to be impactful. I think he'll be more impactful from the start than Stormont was from the start last year.
Yeah, I agree.
So hopefully. Because Stormont, again, really picked up the last month or so of the year. Since the Oklahoma game, really.
And not the only Memphis player we have. We're taking all the Memphis players.
Look at you
with
the segue here. TJ Carter joining, too. Only played in 7 games last year, but in his 2.5 really years as a player, as a starter, had 187 tackles, 7 interceptions, 3 forced fumbles, and 4 fumble recoveries. He had 5 interceptions as a freshman. Who does, like, just hearing that career, does that remind you of, say, in Ardarius Washington?
Ardarius Washington, yeah.
So I think you're... So
maybe with a few more inches of height, yeah.
Yeah, a couple more inches. I think he's 6 foot, maybe somewhere in that range. So, again, not like a giant or whatever, but I think he's a guy who can come in and play and be a ball hawk in that secondary that TCU lost with Ardarius Washington going pro. So, I still feel good about the team.
And I really think that this is a 4D chess. Like, I think this is a very intentional move to grab these Memphis players. We're trying to guarantee that we beat SMU next year.
Yeah, I think between that and also I think Big 12 expansion rumors, they're going to add Memphis in a couple years. They want to take their best players.
There you go.
So you don't have to lose to them. I've always said Memphis and Louisville would be the two teams I would have added.
Yeah, you give West Virginia a travel partner or two.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Get two teams kind of on the way, pit stops on the way.
Yeah. I know. Plus, TCU has history of both those teams.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. So yeah. I would do
I
that.
I used to hate Louisville, man. Let me tell you what.
Same.
Back in
same.
The early 2000s,
yep,
before same. Some of y'all were TCU fans.
Yep. My freshman year, we lost to them on a Thursday night, I think. Those are always the other team in the Conference USA. Yeah, that gave us grief. So we'll know the full 2021 schedule soon. I think other conferences are releasing them this week. So they might come out today. I haven't heard or seen. I haven't necessarily checked Twitter the last few minutes to see if it's dropped. But I know it should be coming out soon, the full schedule for 2021. So keep an eye out for that. But we know Right, you don't know the order of everybody, but you know who you're going to play.
Right.
They face Cal in the opener on 9/11. They face SMU on 9/25. Odds are you're going to play in the third non-conference opponent on the 4th, probably.
Of September or
of
October?
Of September.
Okay.
So you're, because, I mean, you don't want to, I think, they rarely start a season on that late on 9/11.
Yeah, not so, anymore, yeah.
So I think you'll probably see that game on the fourth, and I don't think it's been officially announced, but I know I mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago, and I think Drew's written it too, that Duquesne is going to be the non-conference opponent for next year. So that's probably who you're starting the team with. So three straight home games to start. You feel good about all of those games. SMU, I think, is not going to be as good as they have been in the last couple of years. I think they lost a lot. But who did they pick up at quarterback?
Oh, shoot. They did pick up
somebody. They picked up somebody else at quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Now my mind is completely blank. I was not prepared for this. But yes,
oh, sorry.
There was somebody, and I was like, oh, crap. Like, they got another, like, good quarterback.
Was it – I want to say it's another was it Tanner Mordecai? Yeah, Tanner Mordecai.
Oh, yeah.
Coming from Oklahoma. So
– yes.
So, we think good quarterback, right? I mean –
well, yeah. Probably would be better if he had a 6-foot gray beard because his name is Mordecai.
Yes, that would help. That would way help. So yeah. Way help? What am I, a child?
Way help.
But so that's probably how you're starting. And you know the road games are going to be against the Oklahoma schools. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Always
you're going to play Iowa State on the road.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to – you get Texas
Kansas
at home.
Kansas State on the road.
You get Kansas State on the road. Yeah. Your Midwest swing year. But you get West Virginia at home. You get Kansas at home. You get Texas at home. So you get Texas Tech's on the road. You get Baylor at home.
Yes.
I think I hit them
all. Yeah, I think you got them all. Yeah, so I was trying to
like, gotta catch them all. Yeah, so I think we hit them all there. So yeah, Iowa State's on the road. So yeah, it's gonna be a tough road, but you feel okay about it. I feel like this is still gonna be this is a title contender. I've been saying this for 2 years now. I think this has the trappings of your 2021 Big 12 champion.
Indeed.
TCU. And I saw one Athlon/247 put out their way too early predictions. And they have TCU third behind Iowa State and Oklahoma. Which isn't a shocker. You don't default to the guys that were just there.
And so I have everybody back just about.
Yeah. So
not as many returning players as we do, I don't think.
I don't think either. But
a lot of key contributors.
Yeah. So that's fine. I think they're in that mix for 1, 2, or 3 there. So it's a Big 12 title contender, and that's what we ask for.
Yeah, I mean, those are the guys that you got to go beat anyway, so go beat them.
You know? Go beat them. You want to beat them, beat them.
Yeah, basically, honestly.
All right, so I got a what's up text. I haven't seen one of those in 20 years.
What's up?
So let's go with Bayou City Frog. I got to go find his questions because he sent them a couple weeks ago, but then we haven't had a show in a couple weeks because everything.
Been storing up questions for the winter.
Oh, this one was for you. That's part of the reason.
How do
the equipment managers and players break in all the different game helmets and cleats so they fit for game day without messing them up?
Okay. That's a good question. So helmets don't really require breaking in, but the cleats do. And you would typically, if you got brand new cleats, like this happened a couple times while I was equipment manager, because we had, you know, the special uniforms for the Utah game. We had special cleats for the Oregon State game. I think there was another time that we had special cleats. And you always let the players wear them for the Thursday, Friday walkthroughs, typically, because they don't want to wear the brand new cleats when they're actually practicing hard, because then their feet get blisters and they hurt. Some of the guys still are like, I don't want to wear these cleats, but you're like, you got to wear them, you got to break them in.
That's
but
fair, yeah.
Yeah, you give them a day or two to break them in, so that way they're ready to go by game time. Helmets are just helmets, just as a matter of making them look as pretty as possible before they wear them.
Because there's really, is it just the paint is different and the stickers are different? Because how many helmets can you have? Like, is it just one per kid?
Well, now they have like a billion because there's so many different helmets.
Well, I know like the NFL rule is every player has one helmet. And that's why you saw less alternate uniforms this year because everyone's with the concussion issues and stuff.
Yeah.
Every player only gets one helmet. So
yeah, every player has one helmet in each style.
Okay.
So like when I was there, like let's say my senior year, because that's when we had the most helmets. So everyone had their own practice helmet. They had the matte purple helmet that had like the scale pattern, the chrome purple helmet with the scale pattern. And that was everything. Yeah, because by my senior year... Oh, no, yeah, my senior year we still had the white scale helmet that faded into black. So, but everyone had one of each style. And you just keep them in trunks so that whenever it's like, okay, you know, that we were going to wear this uniform this week, the night before the game, we all have like a helmet party, basically, where we each have assigned, like, I think it was like 10 or 13 players. You get out their helmets, you make sure that they're polished up really nice, you replace all the stickers on them, make sure that everything's tightened properly, and then they're ready to go for game day. We would do check-ins on the practice helmets every few weeks, you know, like, oh, hey, this is broken, we want to replace it, make sure everything's screwed tightly, all that stuff. And we had ways of repairing them on the fly, too, at practice if something was to break or if they needed air or whatever. You got a
little fanny pack of gear.
Yes, we did. Yeah. We did have fanny packs. Yeah. Now, Matt Lewis would bristle at that. He would call them belt packs.
Oh, okay.
They were not fanny packs. And in fact, there was a number of us, myself included, who would frequently get in trouble for not wearing our belt pack at all times and leaving them with the ball bag because I didn't like it bouncing around on my fanny, if you will, while I ran around.
I think you're talking about, it's like the other ball bag is what I thought you were going with there.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, I had to wear that. Mine didn't hang that low, man. Come on, you got to keep it tight, all right? You got to keep it tight around the waist. But yeah, but we had those handy so that we could make repairs on the fly or air up helmets, that sort of thing.
Fair enough. So if you have any more specific questions, feel free to ask. Clint loves talking about this stuff.
Oh, a fun story. That one of my friends who was an equipment manager one time, because we had these little things, like I was saying, to air up the helmets, right? And we had a kid, I want to say it was a walk-on deep snapper, who came up to the window one time before practice and said, like, oh, I need some air. You know, implying that he needed air in his helmet so it felt better. And my friend decided to be like, in your helmet or your cleats? And the kid got super confused. I was like, wait, like you can do that? Like, well, maybe my cleats need air. And he's like, okay, well, like, bring them to me. I'll see what I can do. Like, you
know. Jerk. Oh, that's funny. Let's see. Rank the football teams you are concerned the most about in the Big 12 after Oklahoma going into next year. Iowa State.
Yeah, because you got them on the road. I mean, that's still going to be a really good team next year. And, yeah, that's the big one.
I agree. Dare I say...
And Oklahoma State, just because it's in Stillwater.
It's in Stillwater, yeah. And I don't think they'll be as good as they were supposed to be this year. I think Kansas State's going to be interesting also, because it's a road game. For some reason, TCU seems to never just put them away when they should.
Yeah.
They usually have a talent advantage and doesn't seem to put them away. So, yeah, I think those are the full teams.
All of the states north of us.
Yeah. Texas we're not worried about.
Yeah.
No. Baylor not worried about. No. Tech not worried about.
You get Baylor at home. You get Texas at home.
Yeah.
Texas is going to have they're going to be all gas, all right? All gas, no brakes with an EA, yeah, right?
And brakes.
Yeah.
They will be gas and brakes. They will be not going anywhere.
All gas and brakes.
They're all neutral, baby.
Yeah. Take that, Emmanuel Acho.
Yeah, right? who... By the way,
with your likable self.
Speaking of random people on Twitter, did you see? Was it Caraway and someone from Tennessee going back and forth?
Yes, yeah, I did see that.
And I'm like, the Tennessee guy's like, guys, answer, vote on my poll. Who is better, Tennessee or TCU? And like, of course, he said he's got Tennessee following.
Yeah, yeah.
He won by a million in that poll, but like. Course.
The Tennessee logic that hasn't won a significant game in a decade. Years. Yeah,
and I don't think even one decade. Yeah. I think since Peyton,
probably.
Is that
they probably beat Alabama somewhere in there in the last 20 years.
Have they?
In the last 20 years?
Since before...
When was that game that... I want to say... was that a game that Alabama did win? They had like a chance to beat Alabama in one of those games, I remember.
I mean, probably. Like, I'm sure they had a chance in several of these games. Is there a list of every game? Here's a list of every game. Tennessee...
Yeah, you want to talk about a team that wastes NFL talent. Like, hold on.
Tennessee and North Carolina. Tennessee has won one game. They beat them in 2006. So that was the last time Tennessee's beaten Alabama. Tennessee also won in 03 and 04. And to be fair, Tennessee did dominate from 95 to 2001. They won every game in those 7 or 8 meetings.
But Alabama also wasn't anything in the late 90s.
That's what I'm saying. But also Alabama won every game from 71 to 81. So, yeah. So, yeah. It's been a series of streaks. I think we're going to get into one of those streaks here in a little bit. There's one of these games that's listed as a tie 17-17, but Tennessee gave himself credit for that win. Okay.
Sure. You do, you.
That's
Tennessee.
A real SEC move.
Yeah.
So, yes, Alabama leads the all-time series 57-38.
Hey, Tennessee, you got a great fight song. I'm all about it. Very catchy, but get out of here with this better than TCU nonsense.
Alabama forfeited the 93 tie and vacated their 2005 win. So, I don't know what happened. I don't remember anything going on there, but yes.
I don't know.
Alabama banned from posing play to their probation, yada, yada, yada. Something like that. So, yeah, there's... So, the last 20 years, TCU way more relevant than Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I think it's even a discussion.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's your Texas Bowl next year.
Yeah.
Just to beat the pants off of them. Or Liberty Bowl. Go to their house.
Oh, wait. I don't want to be in the Texas Bowl next year.
Hold up. In 2 years. 3 years. Yeah. 4 years.
Yeah.
Whenever our national title window is closed.
No, we're going to be exclusive playoff competitors for the next, foreseeable future.
Yes. Who are the Big 12 baseball teams to be on the watch for this season besides the Frogs? I'm guessing Tech. We kind of mentioned this earlier.
Yeah.
Texas is expected to be good. But they never live up to the hype, right? Like, they're expected to be good, but are they ever?
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, I think, is also going to be pretty good because, again, they're normally pretty good.
Yeah, it's really the usual customers.
The Big 12 is very much like in baseball as it is in basketball, where, like, seven of the teams are good.
Yeah.
And then you beat Kansas, and you beat Kansas State, except for their ace is going on Friday. Mm-hmm. Like, you expect to beat Kansas State 2 out of 3, and you expect to sweep Kansas. So everyone else can beat anyone else any given day, except in this one, we're one of the really good teams.
Yeah. Except
in basketball. Like, we're not the ones trying to get the upset. So
how the turntables.
Do you guys have crazy expectations for the baseball team like I do? What defines success, failure, or target for you this season? Omaha, I think, is the answer to all three of those questions.
Yeah. There you go.
Making Omaha, I think, is a success. Not making Omaha or losing in Omaha is a failure, in my opinion. Mm. At least not making it. I think if they don't go...
Wait, so how is making it to Omaha a success, but losing in Omaha is not a success?
Exactly.
Okay.
So I don't know when the whole freaking thing.
National championship or bust, then.
Yeah,
national
championship is a success. I mean, sure, why not? Yeah. Why not? They were close in, what, 2017? Was that the Coastal Carolina year?
Whatever, Coastal Carolina. I think that was 16, but yeah, that was the freaking year that we should have done it.
Yeah, for real. That was their chance. The best chance until this year.
Those dang drunken Roosters.
Mm-hmm. And then target for year is Omaha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. I think that roundabout sums all that up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Paul at PG Daily 84. Do you think the Frogs can realistically challenge for the CFP with an offense that is better suited to the way football was played in the 90s instead of 2021? No. But I don't think they'll have that offense this year.
Yeah.
If you played football like in the 90s, no, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're going to see a change. I think getting a normal offseason, I think Kenny Hill, again, I don't think it's been officially announced, but Kenny Hill's put it in his bio that he's a quarterback coach.
Yeah.
I think that's going to help a lot with Max. And I think the offense has changed. I do think people are like, well, I think – people read Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Like, GP reads Twitter. Like, mm-hmm. GP probably, or has somebody that listens to this and tells them what I say.
Sure.
Like, it's not, like, I don't expect him to be sitting here Friday night and I was like, hold on, honey. He didn't warn me. I got to listen to Toad talk. Yeah. No.
If only.
Yeah, I wish. That'd be awesome.
I hope.
But I'm saying, like, I do think there will be some ruffles, some changes,
mm-hmm.
And I expect my expectations has been playoff in 2021 for 2 years now. So
yes.
Please don't let me down. That's all I'm asking for.
Yes.
let's see. Drip King at D Duncan Soul. Odds anyone other than OU will ever win the Big 12 as long as Riley is coach is more or less than 10%.
100%. We just told you.
Well, yeah, I think if TCU doesn't do it this year, maybe.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, I mean, no one's perfect, right? I mean, you're gonna lose eventually.
Unless it's Buffalo in the playoffs, you can't lose every time, right?
Yeah,
it can't always end in failure.
Right.
Someone's gonna wind up winning.
Yes.
Someone will knock him off. It might take a weird game. I don't think many people thought Ohio State was gonna be Clemson this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think it's.
This is why we play the games.
As Chris Berman would say, that's why they play the games. So I do think, I think the chance is better than 10%.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 50.
I mean, I would say there's a 100% chance somebody.
But here's the thing. I think the argument there is like, what if Lincoln Riley wins it again this year and then bounces for the Cowboys when they fire McCarthy?
Yeah,
I think that's the issue here. It's not so much as – I don't think Riley will be there as long as Stoops was.
Yeah.
I think he's too hot of a candidate.
Yeah.
He's also too young.
Probably true.
So I think that's your issue there, not so much that he's unbeatable, but that you have a limited – you have a smaller window to defeat him.
True.
All right. B-Banks 21-21. Speaking of stocks, see what I did there? has our transfer portal activity been a net gain or net loss this offseason? By the way, remember a couple weeks ago when I was like, I wish I knew more about the stock market? I learned a lot about the stock market the last two days.
There you go.
So thank you. Thank you.
You learned about GameStop. Short squeezing. And
thank you, GameStop, which we talked about games, video games from the 90s before we started recording. So, yes.
Did you buy into any of that GameStop?
No, because I didn't.
The pump and dump?
I don't think I understand it until it was too late. I didn't really get a full grasp on it until yesterday afternoon. I'm like, at this point, it's probably too late. Mm. But if someone wants to buy some Arby's stocks, I'm in.
I think Dogecoin is on the rise.
You know what's funny?
So let's all invest in
Dogecoin. I'm sure everyone says this, but like when Bitcoin started, I was like, I had a feeling. Like, but of course, I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, that sounds like something that'll be a thing.
Yeah.
And I wish
it's a thing.
I wish I had known better about that like 10 years ago whenever I first heard about it.
Yeah.
Has there been a net gain or net loss this offseason? So looking at total losses. I mean, you lost your starting tackle. You gained a starting tackle. Mm-hmm. So that's a push, I would say.
Yeah.
Von Gore wasn't a starter. Myers was a rotational piece. Kelton Hans is a rotational piece.
Yeah. You got the Dylan Thomases. You got the who else?
To Valentine.
I think you've had several
players go, but I'm not. I think the most painful one of all of them has been Stormont.
Yeah. Just as far as just a. You know, starting contributor who you're like, why?
Yeah, why? Yeah, why was a tough one because again, he was already a grad transfer anyway.
Yeah,
like it's just like you're. Why would you leave again? But
well, and there was this whole like he had this whole exchange with Mark Cohen on Twitter where it's like, oh, he might be coming back. He's like, oh, he's coming back to school, just not here.
I had heard he was coming back. Like I before any of that stuff happened, like I had heard he was he'll be back. I'm like, oh, sweet.
Yeah,
and then I guess not. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the easy pickup. Played into that maybe, but I don't actually remember which happened first, the chicken or the egg.
Yeah,
but I think that makes it a push. I think TJ Carter coming in to play safety, you lose Von Gore. I think you're getting an experienced guy back. That's a win.
Yeah, that's a game.
And I don't think any other you brought in the backup quarterback and you lost the rotational offensive lineman. That's a gain in my opinion. I think overall it's a net positive.
Yeah, I agree.
But I would have loved to see Stormont come back because that would give me a lot higher expectations. They're already way too high this year.
Yeah, net positive with one big bummer.
Speaking of, glossed over this in my notes. TCU did get their first 2022 commit.
Oh, okay.
And CJ Nelson the other day. Speedy wide receiver from Richland, 6 foot, 175. Also runs in the relays and is a triple jump star there. So he's a crazy athletic.
Mm-hmm.
2 years on varsity. Has 97 catches, 1,774 yards, and 20 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So there's your first 2022 commit. Just totally got into everything else and totally missed that section of my notes. I was like, oh, yeah, here's this. Oh, yeah, forgot to talk about that.
A TCU commit who runs track well, two thumbs up. I am in sport. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, back to Twitter questions. Shouldn't have glossed over that per se, but we'll get into that. I want to save that one for a little bit later. Let's go into... would you take a 38-game win streak for TCU if it meant the Saints/Cowboys? I'm going to say both of them if they each had to not win a playoff game for the next 30 years.
I mean, that's just basically my current reality. So yeah.
For you, that's fine. And for me, I think the Saints have like realistically one more year in this window. Then if they don't make the playoffs next year, I won't be shocked.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I watched them win a Super Bowl in my adult life.
Yeah,
I'll take two national titles for TCU because that's about what that equals.
Yeah.
So, blah, blah, blah. All right. In the honor of the little things, now on HBO Max, what are these best Denzel films? So this is a new Denzel Washington joint just dropped on HBO Max this morning. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to watch that tonight. I already have plans to watch such a movie. So it's Denzel Washington, Jared Leto, and Rami Malek. Are like the stars of it, so that's what they've won a combined four Oscars. So should be a pretty good movie. So excited for that one. So what are your three favorite Denzel films?
Yeah, we talked a lot about this.
We discussed this before. Yes.
Yeah, and I was actually because I went to Denzel's IMDb and I was like, oh wow, like there's a lot of these movies actually that like I'm obviously aware of, but I haven't actually seen yet. Like I've been really wanting to see Fences.
Yep.
I've been really wanting to see a lot of these movies on the list. But so as far as ones that I've actually seen, I think my three favorites in no particular order because that's asking too much of me on a Friday afternoon is Remember the Titans. I think that would be in a lot of people's top three. Remember the Titans.
It's in mine.
A lot of people who listen to this podcast anyway.
Yeah,
football minded people. Yes. Book of Eli, I really enjoyed Book of Eli a lot, and then Glory, I would say was would be my third.
Yeah, Glory. I kind of forgot he was in that because I don't remember watching much of the movie because in high school We had to watch it as part of Texas history, if I recall.
Oh, yeah, I watched that in Texas history.
Or was it U.S.?
I mean, I guess it makes sense because Texas was in the Confederacy. It's a Civil War.
Maybe it was U.S. history. I don't know. It was taught by the high school basketball coach, so who cares? Jeez. You didn't really learn anything. Just watched movies.
As someone who is so passionate about history and loves history so much, it just like irks me that like history is such a glossed over subject in so many high schools.
Yeah, again, those who don't know the history are doomed to repeat it. So it's a real shame that people haven't paid more attention. We just stick the random high school or sports coach on there.
Anyway, tell your story.
Because like I legit had to go ask the teacher if glory was too gory for me, because I was a good little Catholic boy who passed out when I dissected worms at that age.
Because that's, you know, one of the tenets of the Catholic faith. Worm dissection.
It's one of the four humors or whatever. But I was very sensitive to blood and guts, and I still am to an extent, but I've gotten less so.
So if I disemboweled myself right now, I mean, you wouldn't be cool with that?
No. Okay. Mostly because it leaves a mess in my apartment. Yeah. I'd like, at least jump out the window first, or like, get in the pool or something first.
Clean yourself off.
But yeah, but Glory, I don't remember much of it because I'm pretty sure my eyes were closed most of that film because I was too afraid to watch it, which makes me real nervous because tonight we just promoted a movie that's about a serial killer. So we'll see how this goes. As far as my three favorite Denzel films, number three, you remember The Titans.
Yeah, okay.
Number two, Training Day. Okay. Obviously, that's a great classic movie. It's a lot of people's first, I would say, on this list.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Number one is one of my favorite movies of all time, Inside Man. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Inside Man?
I have not seen Inside Man.
Inside Man is a great movie. I also have a massive man crush on Clive Owen. Yeah. Like, he's like number one on my list of man crushes. Not ashamed to admit it.
All right.
Like Inside Man, put it on your notes, things to watch. So watch that movie as well. I think it's one of my favorite movies. I'd say top like 5 to 10 movies, period.
Yeah.
And then B Banks also asked, speaking of movies, in honor of One Night in Miami, now on Prime, I asked him what streaming service he's going to start working for next. He's also just a big movie buff, so thank you, Brian. What sporting event that occurred before you were born do you most wish you could have attended?
Okay.
And weirdly enough, me and my buddies from high school, including regular listener Bryce, who is KB Mav on Twitter, Bryce had not seen this movie, and my buddies Ryan and Alex, shout out you guys, you don't listen, but Bryce brings it up in our group text often. Movies that he hadn't seen, and a movie he hadn't seen was Miracle. And I should have asked,
good movie.
Like, once he finished the movie, I asked everyone, I was like, is this the game that if before, like, you could go back in time and attend? And this was like on Wednesday night or whatever. So before Brian sent this in, or Brian's spying on me, maybe he's my FBI agent, I don't know. So I've always said that Miracle is the game that happened before my time that I wish, and I think it still is, like, of any sporting event, the game I wish I could attend in person. I can go back and pick any game, I'd pick that one.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. I mean, this is a major, like, talk about a history. This is a historical moment about with Miracle. Well, I decided to go a TCU route.
Yeah.
And I did some research on this because I was like, okay, I know there's a couple games coming to mind. Like, you know, you think of, like, the 61 game against Texas when we beat number one Texas. That's the cockroach game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's lots of wins against Texas, like, in the 50s and 60s where we just smashed them, or thought about maybe the Arkansas game in 81. But I fell on this one, and I think this is, I'm like, oh yes, I would so love to be at this game. In 1984, when TCU beat Arkansas in Fayetteville, 32-31. This is the Dan Sharp game, mm-hmm. when Dan Sharp scored. And this was the first win in Fayetteville in 29 years. So you have an opportunity to not only watch TCU win on a two-point conversion with 15 seconds left in the game, but you also get to be extremely obnoxious to just droves of Arkansas fans at the height of their superiority complex over TCU. I do want to read just a little bit of this article that I have about it. So this is just the first couple graphs. TCU football coach Jim Wacker is going to have to retire one of his favorite adjectives. Nothing could be more unbelievable than the scene that unfolded here Saturday afternoon. And one of the all-time great comebacks in TCU and Southwest Conference history. This is, of course, before the Alamo Bowl, mind you. Wacker's Never Say Die Horned Frog stunned the Arkansas Razorbacks 32-31, scoring two touchdowns and a two-point conversion in the final 10 minutes, battling against the wind. Down 31-17 with 10-19 to play and operating with two gimpy quarterbacks, more drama, the Frogs mounted two unbelievable drives and capped it with an improbable conversion that came with only 15 seconds left in the game. It all comes down to believing in yourself, Wacker said afterwards amidst a boisterous and tearfully joyous scene. We could have laid down and died, but we didn't. What a great bunch of kids. What a great victory. This team, he said, is finding out what it's made of. And then it goes on to say how this is the first win in 29 years in Fayetteville. TCU moves to 3-1 overall, 1-1 in Southwest Conference play, on and on and so forth. But, yeah, that seems like it would have been a blast to be at.
Yeah. I was – because we were both at the game in Arkansas a few years ago, right?
Yes, yeah, in 2017.
That was a fun game to be at. I was a little scared for my life leaving.
Yeah. Like, that's interesting because, you know, and Arkansas fans, I feel like, have a real bad reputation. But all the people that I ran into, I was so pleasantly surprised. They were like, I mean, I got a couple of jeers before the game. But there was a lot of people that I like met at tailgates who were just like, let's drink together and welcome here and all this stuff.
Before the game, people were really nice. After the game, not as much. Also had a very scary, so I pulled in to the stadium and it was very confusing finding the media parking. If I recall correctly, getting into that. But it was near a gas station. I had to get gas because, again, I drove there, covered the game, rode for 2 hours after the game, drove back all in one day, which is one of my dumber decisions in life.
That's the Clint Foster special.
Yeah, right? That's a five-hour drive. There was a gas station, and I'm 90% sure I saw either a drug deal or a woman of the evening deal go down in the parking lot. It might have been 2-for-1 special. But I was like, I need to get a Monster Energy drink and fill up and get out of here. I was like, I need to get out of here as soon as possible. Because I've seen, I've read a recap of Deliverance. Remember, I couldn't watch that film. But I know how this goes. I know how things go here in this state. So I was afraid to stick around too much longer.
Yeah.
But I love that question because, again, me and my buddies were talking about this the other night. Sporting events that you, if there's one, also there's one game that you could flip going back in history that you could change the results of.
Come on. That's an easy 58. One. Yes. Yeah. Obviously.
Obviously. Okay. But take TCU out of it. Because I think we agree it's easily 61-58.
So if you could flip the result
like a Cowboys game, a Mavericks game,
Des caught it.
There you go.
Because that, it kills me that Tony Romo didn't get a chance to play in a Super Bowl. It kills me.
Well, again, you still had to go beat Seattle the next week.
Well, yeah.
That's why Cowboys fans are like, calm down a little bit. The Saints actually got screwed from a Super Bowl.
No, I'm not saying – well, okay. Yes, there was more that had to be done. But, I mean, Green Bay – I think Green Bay was a better team that year than Seattle was. I would have liked the Cowboys' chances against Seattle. And
didn't y'all beat Seattle in the regular season that year? For some reason, that sticks out of my head.
I think
y'all beat Seattle in Seattle during the regular season.
Yeah, I think that's true. But yeah, that's the one that kills me as a Cowboys fan.
My answer to that would be freaking putting Craig Gentry instead of Nelson Cruz in right field.
Oh my god! What am I even talking about?
You had Kittenface just sitting there on the bench. Put him out in right field for the ninth.
That's
inning.
The answer. 2011 is the answer.
Yeah.
Yes,
I think that's my go-to answer. Even the
thanks
the
for giving me that to chew.
You're
on
welcome.
The
even the Saints Rams don't call him. Bryce is gonna get pissed that I brought this up again because he got mad when it came up in our group text the other day. So that one's for you, Bryce.
Game. Oh my god! How are you one strike away that many times?
Twice. Anyway,
let's have a good TCU baseball season, y'all.
Yeah, right. Get us to Omaha, please.
Yes.
Clint, you're working on a couple things that might be featured in.
Yes, there's one in particular. I've got a couple of sketches on the burner that I'm trying to get into. If I say I'm trying to get into production, it makes it sound very official, but it's more just a matter of making schedules work and firing up a camera. But yeah, so keep on the lookout. There's a couple things I hope to be posting soon. I have written all of these bachelor scripts. I just haven't shot anything with my wife yet. So that may still happen. Who knows? We're multiple episodes into the season now. Lots of funny things have happened. Who knows if you'll see that or not. But know that I've at least attempted to do it.
I haven't watched a second of The Bachelor ever. So that all will be lost on me.
Yeah. Follow me at Clint_Foster55 on Twitter, at TheClintFoster on Instagram. And keep listening to Toad Talk and give us a rating, a 5-star rating, and tell your friends.
Actually, I haven't checked if we got any ratings in a while. But yeah, that'd be cool if you give us a rating. Because it's been a while for us, but also it's been even longer for other TCU podcasts. Just saying.
Yeah.
We're still, I think, the most consistent. So
we are.
We say that, and we hope to be back next week. We'll see if you're in town or not. But we'll.
Hey, even if I'm not, we'll figure something out.
We'll do a phone call. All right, y'all. Have a good rest of your day.